तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। O Universal Divine Mother, please bless me so that your love fills my heart to the brim. Let this love from my heart then express itself in the form of noble and kind looks. Let this love from my heart translate into sweet and loving words. Let this love from my heart propel me to engage in secret tasks by my hands, by my limb. Let this love from my heart take me to places where I can make a positive difference. Let this love from my heart fill every pore of my being. Let this love from my heart inspire every cell of my being to be engaged incessantly in the welfare of everyone, everywhere, all the time. जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई, जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई, प्रेम की दीप जलाओ साई, प्रेम की दीप जलाओ, प्रेम की दीप जलाओ साई, प्रेम की दीप जलाओ, जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई। जीवन के इन अंधियारों में साई दीप जलाओ, जीवन के अंधियारों में साई दीप जलाओ, साई दीप जलाओ सत्य, साई दीप जलाओ, साई दीप जलाओ सत्य, साई दीप जलाओ, प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ साई, प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ, प्रेम की जो ते जलाओ साई, प्रेम की ज्योत जला। We are praying to the Lord to light the lamp of love in our hearts, because that is the light of our lives. Jeevan Jyoti Tumho Sai. O Lord, you are the light of our lives, and please ignite that light of love in our hearts, because that is the only thing that will drive away the darkness pervading in me and around me. And if you look at it, Bhagwan has created this Prashanti Nilayam just to help us in this endeavor, to help us light that lamp of love in our hearts and ensure that it shines, and it shines so brilliantly that one day we are consumed totally in this light. Bhagwan never asked us to do any meditation, but whenever the topic of meditation came up, he always said that if you want to do meditation, do Jyoti meditation. That is the only thing that he publicly asked people to do. And the Jyoti meditation is all about seeing that light within, allowing that light to cleanse every organ within, and then taking that light from our being to our surroundings, taking that light from our beings to other people, to nature, to everything, so that this light becomes a huge secret conflagration in which ultimately you also get subsumed. If you look at the history of Prashanti Nilayam, many, many years ago, in the early 20th century, there was this little village called Golapalli. And Golapalli means the one which was a fertile ground for cows, fertile ground for pastures, and everything was a land of milk and honey. There was prosperity, there was bounty, there were a lot of cows, there were greens, and people are very happy with what this little hamlet was offering them. They were very happy in this place. And then suddenly something interesting happens. One of the cowherds, he notices that one day his cow has returned after grazing in the fields, but her udder has very little milk. And when this happens the second day, now this owner of the cow, this cowherd, he gets very worried, and he thinks, what is this happening? Where is all the milk going? And so he follows this cow when he goes to the pastures. And that is when he notices this very interesting phenomenon. This cow, even as he's grazing, quickly, silently slips out from all the other group of cows, from the cow herd. And there he quietly goes and stands in front of an anthill. And the moment the cow is there in front of the anthill, a snake pops out of the anthill, and very sweetly the snake latches on to the udder, and happily the cow is feeding the snake. Very beautiful sight. What harmony in nature. What concern of the cow for the snake. What harmony, what beauty, so resplendent of how we should be one with nature, how one person should feel for the other, how one being should love the other and think of the other. Maybe the snake was in need, maybe the snake was not able to go out and look for its food. Maybe the cow felt that I need to serve not only my master, but I need to serve someone else also. And even as such a beautiful sight was unfolding, now this cowherd who had followed the cow, he was watching this very, very, to him, very unusual phenomenon. And instead of thinking much, instead of ruminating why it is happening, instead of giving it a spare thought, what this person does is he lifts a stone and he strikes at the snake, and it comes with so much force and with such a sharp aim that it hits the snake with such velocity that the snake immediately writhes in pain and it settles down, collapses. And before the snake collapses, the legend goes that it curses this place to be filled with antlers. It curses this place to be bereft of cows and the consequent prosperity. And that is what happens to this place, which was Golapalli. It becomes Puttavardhini. Because what happens is anthills start coming up in every corner of this place. And because anthills start coming up, the place becomes barren. There is very little food. Greenery disappears. And cows started to decrease in numbers. The prosperity goes down and down and down. And the whole place becomes arid. The whole place becomes lack of greenery, so lack of water. The earth becomes red. And it comes to a state where it is called Puttaparthi, which is now settled as the place which is filled with all these puttas, which is filled with all these anthills. And then the village elders and everyone wonders, what happened to this place? Our place was a little heaven on earth. Why did this happen? And then someone had preserved that stone which had hurt that snake. That stone is now brought, and all the village elders and the village folk feel, we have done this grave mistake of ruining love with violence, ruining service with hatred, ruining harmony with hurt. A place where each one wanted to live for the other, we became greedy, we became so much of myself. I don't want to spare even a half liter or 1 liter of milk that was meant for me to a snake, to anyone else. And that is what has caused this state to us. So the repentance process started. So they took the stone and they started shedding tears. The stone still had the blood stains, they say, of the snake. They started shedding tears of repentance. They started worshipping the stone. That is the only way they felt they could atone for their sin. They started regarding the stone as their deity, praying and telling, "Oh Lord, please forgive us for this act of absolute indifference to love." And as people started worshipping the stone, the legend goes, and the legend is a reality even for us today to go and see. On the reverse side of the stone, what appeared was a beautiful portrait of Lord Krishna, Venugopala Swami. The stone which was worshipped with repentance came to be revered as God. The stone actually became a God because of repentance. All our hearts, if there is any element of stone in it, if there is any element of lovelessness in it, if there is any element of disharmony in it, the way is to shed these tears of repentance. Then every little bit of stone that is there in our heart can easily become God. And to me, I was thinking very deeply about what is this whole scene about. Swami chose this place as Prashant Nilayam, and he has this legend attached to it. And today, the Venugopala Swami temple, which is there in the Puttaparthi village, is this stone which is worshipped. It is this stone which is worshipped for generations. And it is the village deity of this place. And when I think about it, what occurs to me is, this was the time when the World War I was happening, 1914 to 1918. And then you had the Second World War, which was 1939 to 1945. So these are the troubled times of the planet, where people always sought to guns and violence as the means to find peace. And through this anecdote, Bhagwan is telling us that everything was fine in this world if you were a bit accommodative to another person, to another being, to nature. When that harmony was lost, when you became me, myself, my little 1 liter of milk, my little house, my little position, and you wanted to achieve this not through love, but you wanted to achieve this through violence, through guns, greed, that is when the whole place becomes barren. That is when our heart also becomes barren. That is when we are cursed with those elements in our heart which become stone-like. And the only way to get out of it is to fill ourselves with repentance, to fill ourselves with love, so that those things that are stone in our heart become God. And what Bhagwan has created today, this Prashant Nilayam, is actually sculpted out of barren earth, out of stone. This whole place is actually rocks. And out of this Puttaparthi, Bhagwan created Prashant Nilayam. And that is what he is doing each day. Out of that Puttaparthi, which is the heart which had become barren, he is creating that heaven of peace. He is creating that Prashanti. And how can this Prashanti happen? You know, when the Pata Mandiram, the first mandir, was built, very troubled times. People in those days did not believe in Bhagwan. How can this village boy who was just playing with us today set up an ashram? There were so much of hostility to Swami that it came to a point where they did not allow him to stay in the village. Bhagwan used to go to the house of Kamalamma and Subbamma. They were the Brahmins in the village. Bhagwan loved to eat in their home because in his home there was sometimes non-veg. And people at that time protested Bhagwan going to this Brahmin house and having food. And it became very difficult for Kamalamma and Subbamma to host Bhagwan. And eventually, Bhagwan actually left the village and he retired into the caves. For 6 months, you know, you have those caves beyond River Chitravati where you have Karnataka Nagpalli, Jankampalli. He used to live in the caves. People thought that he was meditating, people thought he was acquiring powers and all that. In fact, there are occasions when Bhagwan has written a letter to a devotee in Bangalore saying, I am still in the caves during that period. And what happens is, very interestingly, noticing this, there was one sage nearby, a holy man, and he thought that this boy is a very interesting boy. He has some very beautiful powers. Why not I make him a disciple? I will become more popular. And he goes to Subbamma and says that, Subbamma, I want to take this Satyam and make him my disciple. The next day, Subbamma immediately gives the land that she has and says, Swami, you better come and stay in Puttaparthi. Whatever it is, I will look after. And Subbamma builds a hut for Bhagwan. That is how Bhagwan comes and stays. Even then, we know the story of how people at that time could not see Bhagwan living even in a hut. You know, all these trials and tribulations that Bhagwan has gone through, it is only to show us that, you know, when you want to do something good, there will always be obstacles. Even when the Lord comes down in a human form, there will be obstacles. So there is no reason for us to complain whenever we have something very challenging that we face in our life. You know, when Bhagwan came down in his avatarhood, he could have been born in a royal family, he could have been born in a beautiful palace in Bangalore or in Chennai, and you know, he could have had a royal upbringing, he could have had no problem, he could have had someone who could have just built a mandir for him, he could have started an ashram, he could have collected people and done what he wanted to do. But he did not do that way. He did not want to do that way, so that every time we face a problem, we'll tell, even when the Lord came down, he went through all this, because that is how the world is. That is how one has to go through this in a spirit of equanimity, in a spirit of determination to do something good, to teach us love, to teach us patience. And so what happens is, we know all those instances when a village men, they burn the hut, and just at that moment there is downpour from the sky and Swami's hut is saved. There are a lot of instances like that. Even that was becoming difficult. And then when it was becoming extremely painful, not for Bhagwan, it was becoming painful for Subbamma and Kamalamma. And that is when they decide to buy a plot of land and give it to Bhagwan. So Subbamma, she buys this 3.86 acres of land. And people were so hostile, nobody was willing to give her the land for Swami. So she had to pay 5 times the price to buy that land. So she paid the price and they went to Bukkapatnam to register. So Subbamma and Kamalamma, they requested Swami. Swami said, no, I will not come. Both of you go. He went to some distance with them. And once they registered that land, sometime in July 1945, that is when Bhagwan then decided to start the construction. In fact, after they registered that land and they came to Bhagwan and gave the documents, Bhagwan blessed them and said, I will protect you forever. I will protect you forever. And he was there in the last moments of Subbamma. We know the story of how He resurrected Sumama in her last moments. Even when the doctor said that the bird has flown away, the soul is no more there, Bhagwan comes 3 days after that and he just calls Sumama, Sumama. She opens her eyes and Bhagwan pours the Ganga water from his hands, and that is how she merges at his lotus feet. So when the mandir land was gifted to Bhagwan, that is when the construction of the old mandir, not the current Prashantinilayam mandir, started. And when the place was dug, there are some lingams that actually came out of the earth. And Swami took those lingams. He said, no, they belong to me. They belong to me. Swami said, this is a place which was worshipped. This is a place on which many sages and saints have done penance for years. This is a very sacred place. That is why I have chosen this to start my new mandir. And 14th December 1945 is when this mandir gets inaugurated. And on that day, Bhagwan had a lot of function. There was a lot of people who came. There was not enough food. Bhagwan touched the vessels. They became akshaya. They became unending. In fact, you know, when you read Bhagwan's early life, these instances of Swami converting water into petrol, Swami converting food into unlimited, it is almost seems like it was happening almost on a daily basis. It came to a point where, you know, after some time when Bhagwan did this, nobody was surprised only. If there was no petrol in the generator, there was not even a thought how it will happen. You know, there's not even a note of astonishment if Swami just touched that water and it became petrol. It became such a commonplace thing for the people at that point in time, in the 1940s, 1950s, because it was happening every single day. We do not have accounts. When you read whatever is documented, which is like minuscule of what used to happen in those days, we are so astounded. But that was what was happening on a daily basis. And on that day, Bhagwan, in the initial years of the Patha Mandiram days, you know, he was the one who himself used to do the worship. So he used to sit there, sing the bhajans. He used to do the omkaram. He used to sing the bhajans. He used to then do the aarti. He used to then do the prasadam distribution. Everything was done by him. And even during the construction, he was the one who would go up the ladder and, you know, fix the wooden slabs, the stones, everything. There was one black stone on which Swami used to sit. And that stone is still there in the Patha Mandiram. On that he used to sit and he used to conduct this entire session, because he has to teach. He has to teach. That is the sad part, you know. He has to teach us how we can love him. He has to teach us how we can go to him. He has to then be on the other side and receive that, and then again bless us. So that was how everything started. And in those days, Bhagwan used to say, bear all, do nothing. Hear all, say nothing. Give all, take nothing. Serve all, be nothing. That's all he used to say, because that is what he was doing at every point, because so much of opposition. On that inauguration day, when Bhagwan had wanted to distribute prasadam, there were plates of laddus, and there were few people who had actually kept some laddus with malified intention. And Bhagwan, when the distribution was going on, Bhagwan said, don't touch that plate of laddus. And later, Bhagwan just waved his hand over that plate and Swami extracted all the poison from those laddus. And then Swami said, put this laddus in a pit and close the earth. And that was, of course, one incident which astounded everyone, because Swami saved so many people that day who could have been affected. In fact, not only Puttaparthi, if you go to the villages Kamavaripalli, if you go to the villages Karnataka Nagapalli, all these areas in Karnataka Nagapalli, suddenly there was this mysterious disease wherein all the people were afflicted with a particular mysterious condition. People started vomiting blood. If any couple had one more child, then they would die. Old people were not able to handle any stress, and businesses were going down. Cows were declining. So there was this mysterious gloom in that village. No one knew why it was happening in Karnataka Nagapalli, just a few kilometers on the other side of Chitravati. And when they approached Bhagwan, Bhagwan said he will come. And then Bhagwan said, there is a very sacred object. There is a peer, which is a very sacred object for Muslim devotees. And Swami said, that is what is there under the earth. And it is utter disrespect that we are doing to this sacred object, that this village is in this state. And Bhagwan comes, and under Bhagwan's direction, a particular place is dug. And as it is dug, and as mounds of earth are removed, Bhagwan suddenly stops and says, no, see that earth. And there they find a golden object, a golden circular object, a silver umbrella and a pedestal. And Swami says, this is the peer. It's a very sacred thing. Start worshipping this. And till today you have the peer festival, which is a very, very popular festival in the local village and people reverence. In fact, this is a festival where the Muslims and the Hindus, everyone comes together to celebrate. And from that day, Karnataka Nagapalli did not have problems. Similarly, in Kamavaripalli, which again on the other side, they had this disease where blisters started appearing in everyone's body, whoever drank water from that well. What had happened was everyone was dependent on that one well. Because someone who was infected had used that well. Now everyone who partook water from that well was now succumbing to this disease. And Bhagwan came there and Bhagwan took four coconuts and he placed it in four corners of this village. And he took another coconut, he created vibhuti and he poured it into that well. And he said, now clean the well and no one will have this disease again. There was an old lady who was suffering with all those blisters all over her body. Swami blessed her, created vibhuti, and she was instantly cured. So when people saw that, they knew this is what is going to happen to each one of them. In fact, when the Patha Mandiram also started, this place being arid, no water, Swami went to one corner of the Mandiram and he just tapped the earth and a spring arose. And that is where they actually made a well. In fact, that was the only well for fresh drinking water for Prashantanilaya, for Puttaparthi in those days. In fact, there is a well just in front of the Rama Lakshmana statue. That is the only well in Puttaparthi, in Prashantanilayam now, the water of which does not have fluoride content. Even though this entire area has fluoride content, that water does not have. When Prashanti Mandir started, Swami indicated to dig that well. And that well still is there serving people in Prashantanilayam. So that is how he created this little heaven of peace, this Puttaparthi. And as the number of devotees grew, because every day was mysterious, Bhagwan used to travel in those days extensively. On one occasion, he had gone to Udmalpet, which is about 400-500 kilometers from Puttaparthi. And one Mr. Bala Pattabhi had requested Swami to come to his home. Bhagwan had agreed. He had arranged a van. And on the way, someone had bought coffee and snacks and requested Swami, can we stop? So Swami said, fine. And as they stopped, Bhagwan saw that this driver of this vehicle, taking this opportunity, had gone into a corner and he was smoking a bidi. He thought Swami is not going to come for a while, but Swami immediately returned. He went straight to this driver and he asked him, what is your name? And this driver was least interested in what Bhagwan was asking or questioning. So he didn't even look at Swami. He said, Kumar Swami, that's my name. Swami said, do you apply vibhuti? Why should I apply vibhuti? All this show off, I don't want to all this show off. In a very, very disinterested manner. Then Swami asked him, have you eaten vada? What is this question? How does it matter if I have eaten vada or not? And Swami asked, okay, have you eaten vada which is made by your mom? And then immediately, this Kumara Swami softened. And he was speechless because he had lost his mother very early in life. And then Swami touched his forearm and Swami said, what happened? The moment Swami touched him, he felt an electric shock. He moved away. Swami touched again. Tell me what happened. And then he took out the upper jacket that he was wearing. And then Bhagwan started narrating. When you were 2.5 years old, one day when your mother was busy in the kitchen and she was frying something on the oil and you came rushing and you wrapped your hand around her and she just lost balance. And that is when your hand actually accidentally went into the oil. And that is how you have that scar on your right arm. And this Kumara Swami became speechless. He fell at Bhagwan's feet. He said, Swami, I am 45 years old now. I don't know what is the love of a mother. I lost her when I was 3 or 4. And then He fell at his feet and Bhagwan raised him. He was someone who never believed in God, even though he had seen so many miracles of Bhagwan, especially if you were with Bhagwan in those days, but he never had faith. And then Bhagwan said, "It's okay, get into the car." And then he drives. And as he's driving, Swami picks his license, the driver's license. Then he sees his picture and then he instantly waves his hand and he creates another picture, same size, passport size, his picture, and he places it there. It automatically sticks next to his picture. And then Swami says, "Oh, I did not put the date on it." And then immediately the date appears and he gives it back to this driver. And this is one of those, you know, instances that nobody knows that used to happen on a daily basis. Every time he went somewhere, the other time there was this owner of a vehicle who, again, when they were traveling, his name was Abdul. This, again, another driver. And what the owner of the vehicle did, one Mr. Srinivasan, when they took a break, because all were gone for a walk, so he brought out some food and he told this driver, "You quickly go and eat, you know, you just go somewhere else and you eat." So when Swami returned, he quickly returned and he saw this driver who's not here and he saw him eating somewhere distance and he called him. So this driver left all the food and he ran to him because he thought probably Swami wants to go. Swami said, "Why did you go there?" And then Swami called this owner, Mr. Srinivasan, and Swami said, "There are only two castes, male, female. There are only two groups. Everybody else is children. It's father, mother, children." And then Swami made him to sit with all the others in the group and Swami had him serve breakfast again. And then just to make him part of the group and make him feel important and light, Swami told, "You come with me." And you know, as he was walking with Bhagwan, Swami just goes to a grove which had all these custard apple trees. So Swami picks one custard apple and he gives it to this Abdul. And even as it reaches his hand, it becomes a normal apple. Then Swami cuts it and Swami gives it to him and says, "You now serve everyone." In fact, there's another very interesting incident that comes to my mind, which happened during this time. You know, this was the time, 1947. What was happening is a lot of kingdoms in India, they were being asked to merge with the Indian Union because India was this conglomeration of so many little princely states. And when India attained independence from the British, it was a huge challenge to actually ask all these kings to part their kingdoms and become part of that India. Because everyone was very, very possessive of their little kingdom. Nobody wanted to let go. In fact, almost 17 or 18 kings came to Swami in 1947, September 1947, because they all thought, "What is going to happen to us? You know, how do we preserve our wealth, our prosperity?" And some kings were very genuine. They were genuinely concerned about their subjects. They were wondering, "What will happen to our people? Who will look after us? We were looking after our subjects." When all these people had come to Prashant, Swami is, you know, very mischievously, interestingly, Swami used to say, "Don't worry, time will look after you. Time will take care of everything." And you know, all these kings thought that, wow, Swami has said that time will look after us. So they thought, "We are going to have our kingdoms. You know, nothing is going to affect us. We have the blessings of Swami." And so all these kings, they organized a big feast. They ordered silver plates and they had all the servants who came. And there was a huge feast that they have organized to celebrate the preservation of their kingdoms. And you know, Swami allowed everything. You have your big feast, no problem. And so on the day of this Maha banquet, they had created a small stage where all the kings would sit and they had put silver plates and all the cooks had come, delicacies were made. In the meanwhile, Swami had also told a lot of devotees that, you know, there is going to be a big feast. So there were a lot of devotees, there are a lot of workers, and Swami very interestingly came little before this banquet and he said, "Oh, what are all these plates? Okay. Then Swami said, "Where are all these devotees? Why are you standing here? Come. So he asked all these devotees, "Oh, workers, why are you standing? Come. So he came and he said, "Please sit here, take your seats. So he made them sit in all those places which the kings had actually designed for themselves. So he made them sit, and then when the kings arrived and, you know, they were wondering, Swami said, Oh, we have arrived. Serve, people are already waiting. Why don't you serve?" So he asked them to start serving. So all these people, the workers and the devotees who were there, were now sitting in the places of the kings. And the kings, when they came, they were made to serve. And then as this was going on, Swami looked behind, he clapped. Times have changed, he said. They had no clue what was happening. But that's what Swami wanted. He wanted everyone to give up that difference. It's not that he didn't look after them. He looked after every king. To someone he said, you know what, don't worry, your people will be taken care of. You start a manganese factory. Someone he said, no, you start this mica factory. That earnings will help you to look after yourself and your people. He guided each one into what they should do, not to get really perturbed about future, but how to accept what has to eventually happen in life and to move on. To one, he said, don't worry, your kingdom will become 100 times bigger. And that was such a huge positive incentive that that person started coming to Puttaparthi from then on, that king. Only later he realized that his kingdom was actually merged with India. So there were these little things that Bhagwan was doing, and that is how a lot of devotees started coming to the old mandir, which was the Path Mandir. And a time came when the Path Mandir could not accommodate the surging crowds. And Sakamma, a very noble philanthropist from Coorg, she now suggested to Swami that, Swami, you cannot stay in this place. This is a very small village. Look at how many people are coming. Every day you have kings who are coming. Every day you have hundreds of devotees coming. How can you be here? This place cannot look after all these people. You have to move to Bangalore. You have to move to Mysore. I will build a palace for you. You have to come there. But Swami said, this is the place I am born. This seed that is sown here will not be uprooted. This will be fostered here itself. That was the promise that he had given his mother, and that is what Bhagwan stood by. Just telling us that, you know, just because something is convenient, don't go for something just because it is convenient. If it is very difficult for us to convert this place into a heaven, there is no point going to another place and where everything is fine and say, no, I'll convert this into a heaven. What is the big deal? Convert which is stone into gold. There is no point converting which is already gold, give it a little more shine. And that is what you heard even Rama say. When Lakshmana says, Rama, that, you know, you have won over Lanka, and Lanka is so beautiful. What is there in Ayodhya for us? Because Ravana was rich and everywhere there is opulence. And he says, you have won over this kingdom. Why don't you rule over this kingdom? Let Bharata rule Ayodhya. There is no problem. We will stay here. And that is when those immortal verses emerges from Rama's lips. He says, Janani Janma Bhumischa Sargadhapi Gariyasi. Mother and motherland are superior than heaven. Just because another lady is beautiful, will you call that your mother? This is the motherland. And this is what has to be fostered. And Bhagwan, as he had promised his mother, decided to stay here in Prashantinilayam. And that is when Sakamma and so many other devotees started thinking that we have to build this new mandir in the Prashantinilayam itself. And one day, while talking to devotees in the Chitravati sands, Swami actually drew the sketch of the Prashantinilayam mandir. He sketched out the entire design. And on January 14th, 1948, it was a Sankranti day. That is when the groundbreaking ceremony of the Prashantinilayam Mandir happened. In fact, this Sankranti that we just celebrated, to me, is a very, very significant moment. Because the Sankranti, as Bhagwan says, it is the day when there is this Sankramana, where is this transformation. You know, we celebrate warmer days, we celebrate the northern movement of the sun. It is a festival of harvest. We celebrate the bounty. We celebrate the days becoming longer. We celebrate the days becoming warmer. We celebrate the end of the dull winter. So it is a time of joy. There's a lot of good things that happen. And when do these good things happen? These good things happen when you move northward. And Swami says moving northward is to move towards Himalaya, to move towards a state of calmness, of purity, to move towards a heart which is pure and white, move towards Himalaya. And Swami says, when that transition happens, that is when you are filled with bounty, that is when you are filled with prosperity, that is when good things start happening to you. And that is the beautiful meaning of Sankranti. And that is how Bhagwan chose Sankranti to herald this new development in the history of Prashantinilayam. Everything in the avatar's life is very significant. And if you look at also, we say the movement of the sun northward, but what actually happens is The sun is not moving northward. What happens is actually the earth, which is rotating at an angle, now the angle is towards the sun. That is what actually happens geographically. The sun is where it is, but the earth is now tilting towards the sun, and that is the reason why the northern hemisphere will get more light and more warmth. So basically, it is not the sun that is moving, it is the earth which is tilting. So it is ourselves which have to tilt. It is this leap of faith, it is this transition that we have to make, because the sun is always there, the grace is always there, the sun is always giving. It's the same with the Lord, it is always there. But this is a time when we have to make that shift, and then good things will start happening to us. So on January 14, 1948, Swami had this groundbreaking ceremony, and on that day he created pearls, he created gems, all that was placed. On top of that was the foundation stone which was laid. And Bhagwan chose Tirumal Iyengar, a senior architect of those times, to build the mandir. Now Tirumal Iyengar was someone who had a name for himself as an engineer, as an architect. He had by that time built the Tungabhadra Dam. It was a 3 million acre feet capacity dam. And when Bhagwan chose him for this, after Bhagwan laid the foundation stone, now he was looking for a rock which he can break so that that could be used as building blocks for the construction of the mandir. In those days there were no bricks, so you would build the mandir with rocks and stones. So he was looking for a nice rock which he can then blast and use for the temple's construction. So he went to the riverbed of Chitravati and he located this rock 60 feet high and 100 feet in diameter. That was the perfect dimensions that he needed for the mandir construction. So he goes to Swami and says, "Swami, can I put dynamite and blast this rock?" Swami says, "You wait for a day." And that night, Puttaparthi witnesses thunderstorms and rain that they have never witnessed before. It is such vigorous thunderstorms, and there is lightning, and there is one lightning that strikes this rock with such velocity that this rock breaks into pieces. And that rock then goes into the construction of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. He has literally built this Prashanthi Nilayam stone by stone. In the earlier days, many people used to come to Puttaparthi who were possessed by ghosts. You know, Bhagwan says, you know, when someone takes one's life on his own, it's a very, very troubled time for the soul. You know, just because I'm feeling a lot of pain in my life, if I take away my life, Swami says, you don't know what torture you're going to face after you leave the body, because it's going to be even more difficult. So that's what happens to these souls who leave their bodies, and so they become ghosts. So they enter into other people's body, because, you know, it's like you have left one home and you do not have another home to stay, so you're wandering. So it's a very, very torturous time, and wherever there is any individual which is weak, so they possess them. So in those days there were a lot of these cases which used to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. So there was this lady who had come, and you know, she was speaking in tongues and she was behaving weirdly, and she would just shout and she would talk in a language that she never ever learned in her life. So all this was happening, and people were, they didn't know what to do with her, and they would bring to Swami, and then Swami would start talking to that ghost, and the ghost would then start telling, you know, this is what I had done in my life, I was not able to face, but I didn't know what, that's why I've entered this body, Swami save me. And this ghost used to say to Swami, "Swami, we want to merge in you, we want to merge in you, please liberate us." That's what used to happen. And what Swami used to do in some occasions, Swami would just pull out 2-3 strands of hair from this lady's body, and then he used to create a talisman, he put this hair in the talisman and then give it to this lady. Then the lady would fall unconscious, and for hours, sometimes for days, and then after that, she would be normal. There were occasions when there was this ghost who would possess someone, and they would chant verses of Hanuman or chant verses of Narasimha. They were devotees, but you know, they had done something very, very tragic in their lives. When they used to come to Bhagwan, they used to be freed, and then Bhagwan used to create an idol of Hanuman, create an idol of Narasimha, and give it to this person and said, "Start worshipping." When we are always in love, when we are always happy, when we are always filled with positivity, none of these negative forces can actually touch us. It is the same with our health, it is the same with our mental, physical psyche. When we are suffering, when you have a physical ailment, they say it is the last stage of the repercussion of something that has happened to us at the psychological, emotional level. It shows up in the final stage as our physical ill health. Because we are not just the body. There are prana, apana, vyana, annamaya, pranamaya, all these koshas. So the whole concept of pranic healing is all about this. You know, they just try to remove that and then you're physically all right. The physical manifestation of ill health is the last stage of something wrong in our body with our whole system. So Bhagavan used to cleanse these people and then Swami used to cure such cases. But later on, such cases did not appear much in Prashantilam. And when Bhagavan asked, someone asked Swami, Swami, why is that, you know, we don't have so many such cases now in Puttaparthi, especially after the 1950s. Swami said, as more devotees started coming to Prashantinilam, the power of this place has increased. I have increased the divine power to surround the penumbra of Prashantinilam. So the moment anyone enters this space, they will be rid of the evil. I don't have to physically do anything anymore. He has so much love charged this place. All you have to do is just come into this space. I remember when I was in school, won an interview with Bhagwan. Swami said, any questions? And suddenly I asked, Swami, why is that you have placed lotuses everywhere? Because, you know, if you go to the hostel, on top of the hostel, you have lotus. On top of the institute, you have lotus. Everywhere there are lotuses. In Vrindavan campus, Anandpur campus, everywhere you see lotus being used so extensively. At that point in time, I just asked out of curiosity. You wanted to engage with Swami for some time. But then, with Swami, there's no moment that is casual. And Swami said it is because lotus has this property to welcome the good and keep away the bad. Swami said, lotus has this property to preserve the sacredness. It is to protect you all, to ward off the evil. So that is how Swami has built this Prashantinilayam, stone by stone. And if you look at every person who was involved in the construction of Prashantinilayam, every person's story is how he has converted that stone in that person into a god. And today, the reason why I thought of speaking about Prashantinilayam is, you know, just 2 days ago, I met someone who had come from the US, a hotshot marketing executive who has traveled widely all around the world. First time he's coming to Prashantinilayam. And I asked him, how do you feel being here? And he said, you know what? It is very uneasy for me. I told, what is uneasy? He told, you know, wherever I have gone in this world, and he has traveled Paris, New York, everywhere he has traveled because his job has taken him to every corner of the earth. Everywhere I can feel some amount of eeriness, some amount of restlessness. The air is not clean. But here I don't know, the moment I have stepped in, there is so much of calmness, there is so much of peace that I am not used to this. I have never lived in an atmosphere where there is so much of calmness. It's becoming too much on me. Because wherever I have went, there is so much of itsy bitsiness in the air. That's how it is everywhere. This place is something. I am not able to live in a situation where there is so much peace, so much calmness. When he slept that night, he said that was the first night when he slept so soundly. And he was just going on and on. He has not even gone to the Sai Kulwant Hall. He said, I don't know. This place is something, it just settles me like nothing. Somehow you don't feel the need for anything else. And that actually set me thinking. Just because we live in this beautiful place, we perhaps do not realize what it is doing to us. How much of good karmas that we have done that this place has pulled us. In fact, on the inauguration day of Prashantinilayam Mandir, Swami said, I have named this Prashantinilayam because this place is going to give you supreme peace. And then Bhagwan went on to add, Putta means birth. Parthi, Swami says, means no. Swami says that whoever has this opportunity to stay in Prashantinilayam and do bhajan or do any sadhana, Swami said, they will not have rebirth. If we really make use of what this place is, it is enough to take us to our salvation. It is enough to give us what we are born for. We have to realize where we are. We have to realize the diamond that is shining resplendently in our hands and bask and fill ourselves with that light, that bright and the brilliance of what it's conferring. Prashantinilaya Nivasa अरज सुनो मेरे साई, अरज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालु, अरज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालु, परतीश्वर साई देवा, परतीश्वर साई देवा, अरज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालु।
वेरी ब्यूटिफुल दिस भजन इज, यू नो,
सत्य सनातन अंतर्यामी,
यू आर द एम्बॉडीमेंट ऑफ ट्रूथ हु इज देयर परवेडिंग ऑल ओवर,
सकल चराचर तुम हो स्वामी,
यू आर द वन हु इज देयर एवरीवेयर, सकल चराचर, यू आर देयर इन दैट काउ, यू आर देयर इन दैट स्नेक, टू शो अस दैट ही इज देयर इन द स्नेक एंड इन द काउ एंड इन एवरी पर्सन, ही क्रिएटेड दिस प्रशांत निलयम।
जन्म मरण से पार करो,
एंड ही हैज डिक्लेयर्ड इट, आई विल क्योर यू ऑफ द साइकिल ऑफ बर्थ एंड डेथ, जस्ट मेक यूज ऑफ दिस चांस ऑफ बीइंग इन प्रशांत।
जन्म मरण से पार करो, भव बंधन से उधार करो,
extricate us from this binds through which we have bound ourselves in this earthly existence,
भव बंधन से उधार करो,
this is the prayer we make to the Lord who is the Puttaparthi Purisha, Prashanti Nilaya Vasa।
अरज सुनो मे परम कृपा,
लेट अस बी ग्रेटफुल टू हिम फॉर एवरी मोमेंट विच ही हैज गिफ्टेड अस, विच वी कैन यूटिलाइज टू बास्क इन हिज लव, टू स्ट्राइव फॉर दिस पीस एंड टू बिकम दिस लव एंड दिस पीस। ओ
समस्त लोका सुखिनो भवन्तु, समस्त लोका सुखिनो भवन्तु, समस्त लोका सुखिनो भवन्। ॐ शान्ति शांति।
I thank Bhagwan for this priceless opportunity and to each one of you for your patient listening. Thank you.